Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
Oh my gosh, and we are back after what seems like an eternity. But it's only been like a week and a half. But it's my name's Mao, and with me as always...
Promi!
This is the world-famous Indie Circuit. well, I don't know about world-famous. That's a stretch.
Well, people in Japan know about it, right?
Sure do.
Okay.
World enough famous.
Yeah, world yes. enough famous. World famous enough.
Yeah, world famous enough. And this is, of course, the Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit. Boy, what a... crazy couple weeks it's been. I'm sure for everyone, but
for me in particular,
because I was jet setting around the world with shenanigans on front and back end and to be delved into with they were pretty harrowing experience.
Wow.
Yeah, but the middle of it was my week and a half in Japan, and that was of course awesomeness. Got to see all of our exchange students that are now residing back in Japan, except for one who is in France on a business internship now. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, Sarah is now in France. She left the day we landed. And I said, that's
unfortunate.
That's serendipitous. I don't know if that's a real word. Sounds like some kind of made-up Disney World word. So, of course, I came back with bucket loads of Japanese music. So if you don't like Japanese music, you should probably just turn the show off now. But if you're listening, you kind of know the deal, I think.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah,
hopefully. Or if you're a first-time listener, welcome. Hope you like Japanese
music.
Girl, grunge, punk, Japanese garage music. That's a thing. That's actually is a thing. And, well, what the hell, here's some of it now. We'll be back after this music break.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures. And the Dutch.
Remember, he gives you updates. Remember, a little night. Remember, he's where to talk. My boy got super stuff, and I can't get enough of his super stuff. No, 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 get enough of his super stuff. No, 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 get enough of his super stuff. No, no, no. He walks a dog and look at look. When I'm down, I'm feeling blue. And he knows just what to do. And I can't get enough of his super stuff. No, 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 get enough of his super stuff. No, 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 get enough of his super stuff. No, no, no.
Now, Weasley, I'm not saying that I've been everywhere and I've done everything. But I do know it's a pretty amazing planet we live on here.
Our planet may be doomed, our Earth devastated. The monsters are in revolt, and civilization is in chaos. Godzilla is laying waste to New York. Rodan is attacking Moscow. Manda is smashing London, and Peking trembles under the wrath of Mothra. Our battle cry must be, destroy all monsters. Who can say which country or city will be next? We must unite and destroy all monsters. Is there a way to defend against Godzilla, Rodan, Manda, and Mothra? The answer is no. Let our battle cry be, destroy all monsters. Be prepared. See for yourself, in color from American International. Destroy all monsters. This picture is rated G for general audiences. Destroy all monsters.
What is that? It's Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
All right, is that what I'm talking about? Of course it is. That is the Go Devils from Japan off their CD Super Stuff. I played Super Stuff, Boys, Go Beat, and Leaving Here. Something we all might want to do soon. Sad.
The country, the planet, or the state? All of the above.
I'll delve into that later. So Super Stuff by the Go Devils. They are a little bit more popish than my usual angrier version of garage music from Japan, but that's okay. They have a very make sure you go out to Time Bomb Records and you can order it online. They have an English version on their site.
Are they in like I Dream a Genie costumes or
no? They're in like sexy smutty costumes.
And, oh, even better.
Yes, and that's a famous Rockin' Jelly Bean did that cover. I have a couple.
That's actually kind of cool. It's an illustration, by the way. He's not saying they're, you know.
Yes, they're sultry, but they're drawn that way because Rockin' Jelly Bean is an incredible artist. Yeah. Look him up, too. I just got a book of his, but it's Christmas, so I don't have it yet. And so, yay for that. Go to Time Bomb Records and make sure
it's
you
gonna
see
be under your tree.
The Go Devils now online.
These corporate backers don't care.
I need some skeleton animation to make whatever that thing you just said. Anyway, hey, we're back.
You just walked into a really bizarre conversation, didn't you, folks?
Yes. So now you have a taste of the Go Devils, who are awesome, of course. And I was going to talk about some of my Japan stuff, but I think we're going to delve into a little bit of promi rage for this segment. We'll have to start by reminding him this is a PG on-air radio show.
Hopefully I got most of my cursing out of the system during our
music break. I don't want
to
upset the net. Hint, diddy, hint, hint. Oh, not the net movie. Okay, so anyway, what happened today that is abhorrent and horrible for all human beings?
So you guys are listening to this show pre-recorded, and we're actually recording this on a Thursday. We are recording this on Thursday, the 14th of December.
The day the world ended.
The day the world ended. Today, the FTC had a vote, and it was decided 3-1 to strike down net neutrality.
Uh-oh.
Even though roughly 87% of the public was for net neutrality, this is a Republican FTC, but 3 out of 4 Republicans were for keeping net neutrality. Yes. Basically, everybody on Earth except Comcast, AT&T, and Verizon.
And China.
Were pretty much, they
I'm joking.
They don't need to vote over there. So.
They just gun butt you in the back of the head.
Yeah, say shut up.
Yes.
With the exception of a number of corporations that you could count on your two hands, everybody else in the country was against what happened today. And
it did anyway, because evil always prevails.
And the FTC pretty much gave all of us the middle finger. Protests, public online comments that were submitted to their system that were supposed to go into public record and be used for consideration, which were last time. You know, there was a big uproar when the last time around this was voted on.
See, I remember
a number
this.
Of years back. And even then, the guy who headed things up, it looked like he was going to be the bad guy in all of this. I remember on John Oliver's Last Week Tonight show, they compared him to a dingo, leaving a dingo to babysit your infant toddler or something because
a dingo ate my baby.
Because he had previously worked for one of these companies, and he basically, it was funny because he'd even publicly said, "I'm not a dingo." Like he responded to that comment, but everybody was expecting this Wheeler dude to just plow over our public rights, and instead, he actually did the right thing. This jackoff, though, who happened to have previously worked for one of these happy companies, has been very outspoken about how net neutrality is bad, how it's bad for consumers, how now consumers will somehow magically have choice, even though in most populated places you have a choice of 2 or fewer, which typically, if you know what fewer than 2 means. and in most cases, when you have a choice of only the 2, your choices are crappy or
expensive
or bad. And crappy or bad, basically.
Both of them expensive, but one's more expensive and like little less crappy, maybe, which is doubtful.
But as long as they have monopolistic control over lines into areas and neighborhoods, for instance, in my neighborhood, I only have one provider I can choose from. That's just it.
That's it. Yeah.
That's the only one who has lines, and because it's deed restricted, that's the only one who can get lines in until they have a vote and pick another one that half of us will be unhappy with.
That's sad.
And you know, so what this all means basically is that now cable providers will have the ability to throttle speed. They'll have the ability to cut off speed, or I mean, cut off direct access to websites or to businesses that they don't necessarily approve of. They'll have the ability to give priority access to services and businesses they do approve of. Like, I don't know, let's say you're Time Warner and you own, I don't know, HBO, and you want to give HBO faster access speed. You can do that now.
Clickety click.
And wow. If you want, and then you can turn around and charge Netflix and Amazon, whatever you want, to ensure that their connection actually makes it to the people who are paying for their service. And the thing that makes me so, words I can't use, is that in all of this discussion, they talk about how basically, like, they're getting raped by Netflix and Amazon Prime and all these companies that are using their pipes to send information to us, and we're not, and they're not making any, you know, getting anything for that, and they're having to put all these additional resources for it. And the thing that they never mention is the fact that the consumer on the opposite end has already paid for that.
On both ends. They paid for Netflix, and they paid for that stupid internet.
Yeah.
Line.
Yeah, if you're paying $50 or more a month to your cable operator to give you access to the internet, why are they saying that the stuff that you are pulling from the internet, because this isn't Netflix shoving their content at me. This is me selectively saying, yes, I want to watch this, stream this video to me. That's me choosing how to use my internet service.
Oh my
God. According to them, Netflix should have to pay them for the service that I'm already paying them for.
Which also means if you have a really cool website and all of a sudden it spikes, you might be owing them money because you're all of a sudden your website's using more thing.
Yeah,
I understand that.
You might get deprioritized. No, it's a real possibility.
And you're like, why can't I get to my indie circuit?
This opens up a whole other range of potential problems because, hey, maybe there's something coming to pass in Congress that your cable operator doesn't feel they agree with, you know? Maybe it's something that they don't want, you know, people looking into more. Oh, you know, those popular petition sites and protest sites suddenly don't load so well.
Oh,
because they are, and they're legally allowed to do that now.
And you know what?
As long as they're transparent about it. In other words, as long as they're honest about doing it, and if they do it too much, you can file a complaint with the FTC, and eventually they'll look into it. Of course, you know, that'll conveniently happen. You know, 6 or 8 months after whatever bill you were trying to fight.
Or whatever president is in office.
But yeah, it's like wink, so wink, clear. Nudge, nudge. Sure, we'll keep an eye on that.
Oh, it's so terrible.
And it's like, well, and the operators are all saying nothing's going to change. And again, you know, if these weren't really valid concerns, if nothing was going to change, why were they lobbying so hard to get this done?
Yeah.
When almost nobody else in the nation wanted this, there were only a small handful of companies did. The FTC basically, gross. one of the most blatant displays of going against the public good. Like, it's obvious. Everybody knows it. Mm. Like, if this really wasn't going to change anything, why did they want it so bad?
Yeah. And, you know, that speaks to a larger, more... now, granted, I'm more of an agent of anarchy than you are, much more. You know, so I automatically assume everything is just should be burned to the ground. But the, you know, a lot of what we've been doing, a lot of the moves we as a country have been doing lately aren't so good for humans. Yeah. I don't know. Like, we're moving
it's
more
not
towards...
not too good for polar bears either. I mean, if
you've
watched
about
the global...
We're moving more towards police state. You know, it's fine for cops just to shoot down people. It's fine for, you know, like, human rights in our... Which we always go, like, we're so free, we're so free. And now they're just chiseling away. We're not... There's no such thing. This isn't... This is a failed experiment, kind of. We just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
Like, from my perspective, like... You know how, like, Russia was a big thing and then they just kind of fell apart? Well, we're there too. We're too dumb. We still stand up and go, yay, we're number one. And we're just not, we haven't looked in the mirror long enough to go, ooh, we're really not, we're like 30th out of 40. You know, like, we are really not what we think. And it's every move, it seems, every big move seems to show it more and more that if you're looking at it, you're going, wow, we're just, not even barely, you know, I don't even know how to describe it without getting some people like enraged, but we've made bad move after bad move after bad move. And this is just one more. Land of the free, home of the brave. Give me a break. You know,
land of the free with purchase.
Yeah. Right. You know, and this is so this is such a big deal, I know about it, and I don't care about this crap.
Yeah.
Like, the last time this came around, everyone was so enraged about it, I was like, well, that's not going to pass, because I was naive.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't. Oh, yeah. You know, like, it things went the way everybody wanted it to last time.
But every time I want to stand up and, like, complain about something, I just look around, and I go, oh, wait, the majority of people around me said that this was a good idea. And I shut up, and I go, boy, I want to move out of here soon. And that's it. Like, that's all I can do, because the majority of Americans wanted what we're doing now. The majority of Americans wanted Trump. The majority of Americans wanted net neutrality. They didn't, but in this case, well, some did, because that's enough, and blah-bitty-blop, and that's the end. So I'm in the minority by wanting, you know, a little bit nicer of a world to live in. That's not the reality. That's not what anyone wants. Look around you. Everyone that is appalled by things that happen every day, look around you, because you're the minority, apparently. You know, and chew on that. That's downer segment, everyone. Yeah. Wow.
Well, here's some Japanese music.
Yeah, right. Here's some Japanese music to remind you that they're better than America. No, I'm not putting that in right now. But, you know, but what happens now? Like, yeah. It's past. And you think, oh, well, now it's just going to be a quagmire of litigation because...
Well, it is, because they're already filing lawsuits to try to get it overturned. But, you know, the thing is that when it happened last time, when the cable companies got classified as a utility, I think it was type 2 utility or something, class 2, I don't know the exact jargon. Basically they got classified like the phone company as right. just a connection, you know? Which is what gave us secured this freedom, because there had been some laws in place already that were preventing the operators from abusing what they had before net neutrality was actually made official. And they were fighting like hell to get that stuff thrown out back then and saying it wasn't constitutional. The net neutrality thing was a way of saying, okay, now it's legit, it's legal, yeah. You can't do anything about it. They immediately began filing lawsuits the next day. And what the sad part about this is that they knew what they were doing. They knew all they had to do was wait long enough.
Right.
And because that's what it turned into, is just a, you know, like, okay, you guys won this. We will just slowly keep hammering away. The public will eventually, you know, lose interest or lose steam and not pay, you know, and we'll get it. And that's exactly what they did. It took them, you know, half a decade, but here we are.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know, man. It'll affect us all, and you know I always kind of look at it as like a, okay, this isn't something that will necessarily limit my life, but it's going to impact me because I'm a working man,
yeah.
And working people are run over and money is taken out of our pocket at every single turn. It's fun to keep us poor and really hustling to like be thankful for our job. They always say be thankful you have a job. That's what people tell slaves. You know, and that's what we were becoming, because you have to, like, I'll just get charged sometimes, and every now and then I'll go, oh boy, it's a little higher than it was last time, but, oh well, I sure do like watching blup-bitty-blup online, and, well, you know, then sooner or later it's just more ways of keeping me poor, keeping me working, keeping me, like, to, you know, forget about the robots that are replacing my friends and family's jobs, as I hope I'm not next, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a dire viewpoint. I try not to, like, think about that kind of stuff, because it sounds like I wear a tinfoil hat, and I really don't, but that's the kind of the reality.
Well,
you know?
we've had the opportunity to see some of that firsthand, so we know, you know, it's not just a pretend thing, it's not just a theoretical scenario, it's actually happening. Between outsourcing and automation, we've seen it happen to people.
It's going
to
get worse.
To people we know.
I think they kind of predict that most jobs aren't going to be around in reality if they don't want to be. It's just going to be automated and whatever. You know, there's very few jobs that a human needs to do necessarily, unless it's customer service. So you can get yelled at by somebody who was just replaced by a robot and needs their money for
right.
their pills for their depression because their internet's too expensive now.
You wow, see?
That's called
just delivered that
all
with
together.
A bow.
So yeah. All right.
Good
I guess,
times.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna transition a little bit away from this whole thing. If you do, hey, sign a petition if you see one. For what it's worth, yell at your senator. That's what they're there for. Or Congress or whoever.
Unless it's Al Franken.
Whomever you can yell at, do that. And then when everyone ignores it and we're just paying more money, please pay enough money to get the Indy Circuit to your computer.
Yeah.
Or your personal listening device. I just went right into shill mode. Like I'm making a penny on this show. Ah, well, what are you going to do? All right. You know what? We're going to go right into a nice long music break since you had to endure our
rants
and raves and tinfoil hat building skills.
We'll definitely talk about something more interesting when we come back.
Probably.
You heard Marsalis threw Tony Rockyhara out a four-story window for giving me a foot massage? Mm-hmm. You believe that?
Well, I mean, the time I was told it sounded reasonable.
Marsalis throwing Tony out of a four-story window for massaging my feet seemed reasonable.
No, it seemed excessive, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
We'll be right back. Hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
All right. They are not new to the show, but I just bought their CD, so now the audio quality is probably a lot better than what I've been playing.
They're legit.
They're legit. That is the Bat.
You're legit.
T-H-E-E-E, Bat.
Too legit to quit.
Yes, that thing. And the CD is called The Official The Bat Club. So if you buy the CD, I guess you're in the club, and I like that. So I hope I can put that as some discounts when I go to buy things. I don't think that's how that works. Anyway,
like a membership card.
Yeah, I wish I got a membership card. So, yeah, now they have a CD out officially. I've been playing them for the last couple months. You know, The Bat is one of those bands that is right up my alley. Very aggressive and angry and grungy and, you know, screamy, Japanese-y, you know, all that good stuff that I like so much. So to kick off a little bit about my trip, the beginning of it and the end of it were horrible, and basically, the beginning of it, I'm on the day of last day of work before I leave. I'm in the shower. Sally, the beer wench, walks in and says, "Hey, your passport's expired."
Oh, wow!
Yeah, I went into work and I was like losing it. I couldn't even like talk or focus. And then they were like, "Well," and they said my options are to drive to Miami. So I got in a car and drove to Miami. And then with 30 minutes to spare before they closed, gave them the paperwork. They let me in. They said, "Okay, you've made it through the cutoff. We'll do it." Then we're sitting there feeling good about life. And then they said, "Well, the computer's down. Go home." And this
you're
is
like,
to, this
you realize
is,
home is 6.5 hours away.
No, this is to a room of people. And they said, "We're going to try one more thing." So we're all having heart attacks. I'm having a heart attack massively because I have a wedding to go to in Japan.
You got
and
tickets.
Then after finally, then they said, "Oh, here's your passport." And I went, drove home, slept for 2 hours, and got on a plane for 15 and a half hours. 22 hours total.
See, that would have been a great time to sleep if it was any way possible that could happen.
God. That passport thing, I lost years off my life because of it.
I believe it.
That freaked me out. But I mean, it worked out, but the whole day I was ready to like cry and puke and panic and
how in the state of Florida is Miami the only place you get to go to fix that?
That's what I said.
Stay back, I got a chainsaw.
Yeah, so I had to cut off because that's the end of the segment. But yeah, you know, it worked out. So I mean, like, in reality, I should view this as some kind of miracle, because that's what it was.
Because the alternative was you weren't going to Japan.
You wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning, or you find out at 10 o'clock in the morning you don't have a passport, and you get a passport that day and get on a plane to Japan. That's kind of miraculous. It's almost one of those things. Until that happened, I would have been like, you can't. That takes like months. You're not getting your passport. You know, I didn't even think that was possible to do that, because I'm, you know, but it worked. You know, and then the flight was, well, those flights are really bad. You know, there's no way to sit comfortably for 15 hours
unless
on a plane.
You drop $16,000 or $1,600 on your ticket.
Yeah, but still, even then, wouldn't be like, you know, like it's. So it's a horrible flight. You know, we connected in Seoul. And we got, and then we flew to Japan. But then, you know, you like, you get off the plane, and I was really exhausted. And you have a 2-hour drive to the hotel, but still, you're in Japan.
Yeah.
So like, that doesn't hurt so bad.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's a 2-hour drive, but like, you're glued to the window for 2 hours.
Oh, I know, because you like love it, and I, you're not on Facebook, and you, if you think about go out and see each day, I put the maximum 30
you know,
images.
I'd have actually gone on there if I'd known you were doing that.
Oh yeah, because I did every day. I put 30 images, like my best of kind of thing.
You know, the crappy part too is okay. So I haven't been on Facebook in, I don't know, weeks, and they send me text messages and they send me emails and like, your friend so and so just posted a new picture. Your friend, like, people that I really don't care about.
Yes.
If they'd said like, your friend Mao,
they're like, we hate like, Mao.
Like, but no, like, know. Like, knowing that you were in Japan, if it said you updated, I'd have gone on
You're
and
like,
looked.
Huh, time to look. Yeah, no. So it was, and that was what an incredible. We went there for one of our daughters, one of our exchange students. We call them our daughters because they were got married. So she flew us to Japan. She got married in Nijojo Castle, the last Japanese castle from the Edo period in Kyoto. She got married in the castle. I'm like, oh my god! And then they had like Maiko, the geisha trainers.
Mm-hmm.
They had two of them at the ceremony serving beer. No one in Japan believed this. This was like the grandest wedding in the history of over the top weddings.
Wow!
She was dressed in the white kimono. Then she changed again at the reception hall into a colored kimono. Then she changed into a wedding dress. Like, and he was like kind of dressed the same way, and. Wow. There was like 20 courses, all Japanese food. So it's like, what kind of fish you have in this course? You know,
yeah.
I like Japanese food, but you gotta be careful. You better like fish. And I'll put it that way.
You mean they're not all steakhouses over there?
Not quite. So we go to Kobe. Oh, I'm sorry. We went to Kyoto for the wedding. And I mean, you're sitting as a gaijin, as a foreigner, sitting in a castle, watching, you know, watching your daughter get married. And people are taking pictures because they're walking through, but the gardens are roped off, and they're like, this is a wedding in Japan, is like at this castle, like you're on thousands of pictures, because everyone that walked through was like, wow, look at this wedding, and they're taking pictures of it, you know, so that's beyond comprehension, you know.
So it'd be like walking past a wedding at Cinderella's castle, except with real cultural relevance.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like if that was actually a serious historical
castle,
big
yeah.
deal place, but with tourists just passing through
and
because,
then taking
yeah.
pictures, they're like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
And then we went up to Kobe, which was our first daughter was there,
steakhouse.
And she's 30 years old now, so I wrapped my head around that as I cried a little bit inside. And you know, it's been like 10 or 12 years since they lived with us.
Yeah,
you know, and that's crazy to think about because they've been such a huge part of our lives always.
Yeah.
So she was insane, like always, and wonderful, and we love her crazy. And then we went down to Osaka. That was our last stop. And that's where then I went into Time Bomb Records and I met up with them, which is totally cool.
How's Audrey doing?
No, not Audrey. She's Benton Records.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
Benton.
This
Audrey
is I met my man Kenji from Time Bomb Records, and I had actually made up shirts for him.
That's right. Did those come out good?
Yeah, they look pretty good. So I gave him the shirts, and you know, he gave me a couple of records. I got the 5678s had some new releases, so I grabbed up two of them, and a whole bunch of records. I spent a lot of money at Time Bomb. If I wouldn't have got yanked out of there, I would have spent hundreds of more, you know. So so thank God our handlers.
Sally the Bear Winch pulled the lead.
No, it wasn't her. Our handlers, Sarah's mom and dad, were driving us around.
So her dad was in the corner asleep.
No, her dad was in the car. And on record, now he's not the craziest driver in Japan, but I guarantee he's top 10.
Really?
Wow. You're thankful you live. And you're like, huh. Hey,
That's funny because I just remember him here being asleep on the couch, you know, like his daughter.
You're like, hey, I live to see another day. That's awesome. Well, I love him to death. That must be why
he was sleeping here, because, you know, he was like, this was so boring to him. You know?
He's like, I haven't nearly killed 10 people yet today. That's stupid. Yeah. Out of respect, you know, they're much older. They're retired. There is no way a retired Japanese couple wants to spend one moment in the kind of record store I was in.
Gotcha.
Let alone the 8 torturous minutes that they actually had to stay there. So I was like, okay, let me go over here.
Yeah.
So I just grabbed the back, grabbed the ones I knew I had to get, and then a couple others. But it was, what an incredible, you know, the flight home I'll save for next show, but it was, part of my heart, part of my soul stays in Japan whenever I leave there. I can't describe it any other way than I love it so much there, and it's just like when I leave, part of me dies because I'm
like
saying
you went
goodbye.
To that forest on the base of that mountain where people die and don't come out,
and they don't care. And you know, so all right, here's some more music before we go, and we all know where this is going. I'm pretty sure. We'll see you on the way out. Right. That was, of course, the flagship, the one and only, the world famous 5678s. I played for you the 5678s and Blue Radio, which is one of my favorite songs. I really love Blue Radio. And we are now out of time. I think we're probably next week I'll talk about the shenanigans on the, after we got home. And we'll talk about maybe some more light stuff. Because I always feel
if
weird when we...
say shenanigans one more time, I'm going to pistol whip you.
I have that clip. I'm going to start the show next week with that. You know, I always feel a little awkward whenever we get onto a rant. Just because you sound like a lunatic. I'm really not one, folks. All right, that's it for this week. My name is Mal. Aww. And with me, as always...
Promi.
See you next week for more shenanigans.